us this morning to hear what God's Spirit would speak to each and every one of us. We pray that our hearts would be open to His Word. Thankful to have Brother Paul Pensa here with us. He will have both the English and the Serbian service this morning, and we ask that you keep him in prayer.
May we bow our heads in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, it is with joy that we come in this morning hour, in the day of rest, to sit at thy feet for learning that thou wouldst be our unseen guest and thou wouldst speak unto us the words of life. Father, we are so thankful that the door of grace is still open, that thou art still calling souls unto thee, and we pray that thy gospel would go forth even in this day. And that would open many hearts that would be receptive to thy word, that thy kingdom would be filled with those whom thou hast prepared. We invite thee in our midst, Lord Jesus, and thou would be with us, for unless thou art with us, our gathering would be in vain. We give thee all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray thee. Amen. To help the Lord, I wish that we would turn together and read from Acts, from the Acts of the Apostles, from chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. Дело апостольское, 17 глава, от 16 стих. Желим со Божьей помощью да прочитаем. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, from verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a satyr forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And it made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, and that he had raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus and Areopagite, and a woman named Damarius, and others with them. I have read to the end of this chapter. Beloved brothers, sisters, and friends, and every precious hearer that has set their hearts to come into this place of worship, even in this morning hour, I come with no new thing, as the Athenians wanted to hear something new. But we come with the old story, as we sing in that song, "Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love." And though we know this portion of the scripture, that we have read it oftentimes, we heard it preached, I believe, so many times, but we see how mankind still today, even today, as we go through this world, we can see that there are people that are like these people in Athens at Mars Hill, who have set up in their own heart some imagination, some idea of God, and are going about their business pleasing that God. You know, when Paul spoke to the people of Corinth, he said that the gods of some men are their bellies. They live for this flesh and blood. They live for today, how they can enjoy life and how they can please themselves. And they forget the Creator who made them. We read in Revelations that God has created all things. And for his glory, he has created all things. When God made us, when he had us in plan to come upon this earth, he had a specific purpose for us. That we might be those oracles that would praise him, that would serve him. Even as all the creation that he made, we have the sun, the moon, the stars. They come out in their order, as God has ordained them. All the trees of this nature, they come and they bloom and they lose their leaves in their time as God has ordained it. God complained about his people too in the old times. He said the ox knows its stall. But my people do not know me. And if nature knows the Creator, we who were created in the image of God fail to give God, the Creator, the due honor and the due praise. And we were all like the people in Mars Hill. When we walked in darkness, when we didn't seek after God, when we sought out our own desires, our own pleasures, because we didn't know any better. Until we heard the gospel story. That beautiful gospel story that there is mercy with our God. that God has no pleasure in the ignorance of man. Though we read here together that God winked at the ignorance of man in time past. But now he commands everywhere that man would repent and turn to God. And I believe that I'm talking to the choir that is already singing. Most people in this room, I believe, are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that have taken that step to accept the invitation call. But should there be those, our children, our grandchildren, that are living in this world and are worried about tomorrow and what they shall do in the future, it is important that you might first and foremost set your feet upon the path that leads to life everlasting. There was a grandfather who once took his grandson, who was about to go into the world and leave home and go to university, and he said, "Grandson, I want to talk to you. What are your plans for life?" And the grandson said, "Well, Grandpa, I'm going to go to such and such a university." He said, "That's good. And then what?" "Well, then I'm going to graduate and get this and this job that I want to do." He said, "That's good too. And then what?" "Well, then I'm going to get married and have a family." "Well, that's good. And then what?" "Well, then I want to, you know, build a big house and I want to live life." He said, "That's good too. And then what?" "Well, then I want to retire and maybe go to South in Florida and maybe have a nice yacht and retire and have a good life." He says, "That's good. What then?" "Well, then I'm going to die. Then what?" He couldn't answer that. What happens when we close our eyes for the last time? What will happen with those things that we have acquired? What will happen with the wife and the children? What will happen with the possessions that we have? What will happen with anything that we have? It is all left behind. And we must go before that white throne to give an account of how we lived our life upon this earth. Here it says that God has determined the bounds of man. He has appointed a time for us. He knows when we were, he knew when we were to come on this earth, and he knows when we will go. And we will not go one moment before that or later than that. But he has placed us in his vineyard. He has placed us in his garden, and he wants us to be that fragrant, that sweet-smelling savior that a flower should give, or the vine that should give that fruit in its due time. If it doesn't, it will be like the Lord said when we know as he walked and he passed by this fig tree, and it had no leaves. It only had leaves, had no figs. And it says there that the Lord cursed that tree and it dried up. And the disciples were amazed how quickly it dried up. But I pray that it would be like that parable that he gave where the vine keeper came and he came to this fig tree and he didn't find any figs. And so he said to his husbandman, he said, "Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground?" But the servant said, "Lord, let me dig about it just one more year. Dig and dung it. And if after 1 year it doesn't bring forth fruit, cut it down." And he was gracious enough to allow him that. And God was gracious enough to give us yet another week, another day of rest, where we can come and sit at his feet at the highest school of learning. No, it's not university. In the university, they'll teach you about things that pertain to this life. They will teach you things against God. how you can be your own God, how you are your own man, your own woman, how you're not accountable to anybody, but we are accountable. We are just like the clay in a potter's hand. And God can form us any way He wants to. And I believe He formed us in such a way as it was pleasing to Him. I went once to a place where there was a potter, and he was exhibiting to the people around him how he makes those pots. And he had a wheel, and he had that mud, and he formed it. And I asked him, tell me, what happens if you formed it and it's not exactly what you want? He says, well, I have to break it. And I have to crush it. And then I'll take the dust and I'll remold it again. And that's what God had to do with all of us. We needed to be crushed, to be broken down, to be reformed, not in the image of Adam, for we were born and we inherited the image of Adam. Nobody had to teach us to lie. Nobody had to teach us to sin. It was an inbred thing in us. We inherited that. But we needed to be reformed in the image of God's Son, in the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's doing today. Chipping away at the old. Trying to reform us into that image. For only that image, only those people that have the image of the Son of God will be able to see the Father's face. There's nothing that will enter into that kingdom that is sinful, that is defiled, that is corrupt. No matter what anybody tells you, it's impossible. For when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the glory they had with the Father. They used to go and enjoy early mornings when God would speak to them. But all of a sudden, when sin came in their life, instead of joy and happiness, they had fear and shame. And they hid from God. And they only heard His voice. And God knew what they were doing. And when He called out to them, where art thou? He said, well, I heard your voice and I hid myself. Why did you hide yourself? We know the consequence of sin. That's what it does. That it causes us to be fearful. It causes us to be ashamed. It causes us to seek some other relief, some other way that we can cover up that sin and not feel so fearful, not feel so shameful. And you can read many books. You can go to a lot of libraries and read books to make you entertained and to get your mind off the reality. The reality of how you look when you look in the mirror of God. And this is the mirror of God, God's Word, the Bible. And when you look into this mirror, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as Adam and Eve, naked, undone, fearful? Or do you see yourself as a new creature, reformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Who was meek and lowly, who was humble, who was patient, who was loving, who was forgiving, who endured all those things. Why? Because He loved the Father. He said, I came not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. We who are created in His image have a purpose that we might fulfill those things that he has set for us to do? What are the things that we are doing, that we are occupying our life with? Do we do as we sing, take my hands and let it be? Or we sing about our eyes, our mind, our feet, and all these things? Are we occupied in the work of the Lord? The work that other souls might be brought to the Lord. Do you know that some people will never read this Bible? But they will read you and me. And these people will use you and me either as an excuse or as a praise to God for bringing them to the Lord. In Yugoslavia in the old days, there was a brother who lived, and it was very common for those that lived in a village to go and work in the city and dwell there for 6 days and come back on the weekend with his family. And this brother was like that. He had six children, and he traveled every week to the city, and he worked. And as the pay was not weekly like we know here in America, it was once a month. And so one of those days when he got paid, his wife says, "Honey, the children need some shoes. And we don't have a shoe store here, but you need to buy it in the city." So of course, and I remember my dad did the same thing. He took a bit of a stick, and he measured their feet. And he went into the city and he bought some. After he got paid, he went and he bought those shoes. And so he put the change that he got in his pocket. And the rest of the money that he had for the month's wage, he put in his other pocket. And so he would come with the train back to his village. And from the train station to his house, there was a good 2 kilometers of walking. And then he had to walk through the fields to get home. So that Saturday, after purchasing those shoes, he came off at the train station and he started walking towards the fields. And in the midst of those fields, there came a man and pulled out a gun and asked for his money. And he told him, "But I just got paid. I have six children. Give me the money." So he takes out his money that he got from his monthly wage and he gives it to him. So the thief takes it and he runs. And the brother puts his hand in his pocket and he realizes, after the thief asked him, "Is this all your money?" He said, "Yes, that's all the money." He puts his hand in his pocket and he realizes he's got the change that he had from the shoes. He goes, "Excuse me, sir. I told you I don't have any more money, but I have some more money. Please, here's the other money." And the thief says, "Well, how is it that you're going to feed your children? You told me you had six children." He says, "God will provide." He says, "Look, I'm a Nazarene. I'm not allowed to lie. I'm sorry. It was an accident." The thief comes and gives him all the money back. Years go by, and there was a brotherhood meeting in a certain village. And this brother was a minister, so he goes to that meeting. And as the host assigned all the visitors where they were asleep, this minister was assigned to a certain brother who was a new convert. And as he goes to his house, the host says, "Do you remember me?" He says, "No, I don't. I am that thief that wanted to rob you when you came home that week. And because of your life, I am who I am now, that God worked in my life. And thanks be to God that you were a light unto me." Maybe he didn't read the Bible, no. But God worked in his heart to bring him to realize that there is a day of reckoning when we will have to give an account for everything that we do, be it good or bad. And there is no respect of person before God. No, there is. It doesn't matter who we are. To whom much is given, of him much will be required. God is seeking such souls to worship him. Not because he wants anything from us. For here we read that God, the creator of heaven and earth, gives life and breath unto all. He doesn't need anything that we can give him. He just wants our hearts. He wants our submission. He wants our love, that we might love him. And how do we love him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments, to love one another, to love God first and foremost with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, is that so hard to understand? God didn't make it difficult for us. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Is that so hard? If we would only put ourselves in the position of the other individual, what would we want them to do for us? The world has a different saying, do unto others as they do unto you. That's how it was. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. But Jesus said, not so. The Son of God came not to destroy life, but to save life. He came to save our souls that are lost and wandering in this wilderness of sin, and to put our feet on the path that leads to life everlasting. When Jesus walked upon this earth, we read that they were going through Samaria. And the Samaritans wouldn't receive him. And the disciples said, Lord, would you that we would pray like Elias, that fire would come from heaven, that they would be destroyed? And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man came not to destroy life, but to save life. Jesus came and gave his life for your life, for my life. That we might have part with him in that eternal kingdom that knows no end. There's kingdoms. The kingdoms of this world, they all have an end. It doesn't matter what you obtain. Well, we know Nebuchadnezzar. He was one of the first ones of the world kingdoms. He was the head of gold. And though he had that dream about the tree that was to be cut off and to be to have a band around it, and Daniel explained to him what's going to happen, and it tells us 1 year afterwards he looks on his kingdom and he says, isn't this the Babylon that I've created? And at the same time, the voice came from heaven to cut down the tree. And 7 years he lived like a wild beast. Until when? Until it says, and my senses came to me. And he realized that there is a God who rules among men. And only he is worthy of honor, of praise, of thanksgiving. Man is not worthy. You know, you see some of these nominal churches or Catholic Orthodox churches, and the priest likes to get that honor, father, whatever, worship before him. We know that even John, when the angel showed him all these things, that John knelt before the angel and he said, don't. I also am a servant of God like you. Worship God. Don't worship man. They wouldn't accept that glory that belongs to God. We are to love one another. We are to cherish one another. We are to esteem the other better than ourselves, but we are not to expect to receive honor. Why? Because our Lord didn't receive honor. He said, if they have obeyed my words, if they have kept my word, they would keep yours. But we know that they didn't. They rejected him. And so we are in the image of Christ and also in his sufferings. We need to follow as he walked if we want to get there where he is. And he is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding still today. And he keeps the door open, as he said to the church of Philadelphia, I know that you are weak. But he kept that door open, and no man can shut it. And today the door of grace is still open, and no man can shut it. Oh yes, they'll try. These governments will try. We know in California they're trying, you know, telling people they can't even gather inside like we are gathering here. Satan is trying everything he can to put out this word, to put out the light, that man would continue in darkness and live in their sinful life. But thanks be to God that God still allows the door to be open. And today the word of God says, today when you hear his words, young people, old people that are not in the Lord, today when you hear his word, don't harden your heart, because tomorrow is not promised. The Lord could call you to give an account for your life. What will you do then? And then what? May the Lord bless these words.
The Gospels speak of times where Jesus would come through a town as a gentle healer and would heal those that would have need of healing, and he presented the gospel to them. And there were those that responded to that gospel, and there were those that did not. But there was much rejoicing as Jesus would pass through their towns. In much the same way, the Apostle Paul came through Athens. The Apostle Paul arrived, saw their superstition, saw that they were wholly given to idolatry, and he presented the gospel to them in all of its truth. And then he made his way, and he moved on, the end of the chapter says. He no longer stayed there in Athens. He moved on. But there were two there whose name are written there in the Bible, that these two, among others, believed what the Apostle Paul had presented to them of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of the need to repent, of the need to know that God is more than an inanimate object made of gold or silver, but he's the one and true God. There is no other beside him. And so their names, there were two names written there of those that believed in Athens, the gospel that was presented to them. This morning, the Spirit of God passed through our midst as well, presented the gospel message, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, how that we, through faith and repentance, we can be saved. And our names can also be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray that though we might live in a city that's similar to Athens, they were given to idolatry. They were superstitious. We live in a nation that's very similar to that. Some might call it progressive. It's simply just idolatry. But I pray that as we live in a nation such as we do, that we would believe the gospel, that we would heed the gospel, that we would live the gospel, that we would give ourselves wholly unto the Lord, and that we would magnify his name, and that we would be his, and that all our names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So may God bless his word upon our hearts in this morning. Amen.